I had a dream once. That's a funny way to start this story, isn't it? Because obviously I've had many dreams. I just mean that I had this particular dream once. It was a while ago, so some of it has faded and probably morphed into fabrication over the years because I have no way to hold on to it except through retelling it while I'm awake. Dreams fray at the edges, even when you're asleep and experiencing them. When you're awake, all you're left with, usually, is a vague feeling or maybe a string of nonsense that seems important. Sometimes certain things do stick with you, though. In this one dream, a lot happened. I don't remember most of it, but I do know it was one that kept going on and on, stretching itself past what should have been its possible timeline based on how many hours I was actually asleep. I also remember that in it, I was walking toward a house. Could have been my own house, but it didn't feel familiar. I was looking through my own eyes, staring at my feet. I was wearing my favorite pair of boots at the time, heavy and black, and I could feel how they thumped against the sidewalk. Things were all greenish-black in that dream. It was fall. Everything was greenish-black except the fallen leaves. Those were yellow. As I walked past them, each leaf turned to point towards the house. They'd jump up and separate out of piles, one by one, landing beside my boots as fast as they could manage, each and every one carefully turning itself toward my destination, assuring me I was headed the right way, warning me not to turn any other direction, willing me forward with the whisper of the wind, this way. The leaves are what stuck with me. Ever since that dream, I've always considered it a good sign to see a leaf pointing the way towards something. It's irrational, I know, it's just how the leaf was dropped by the wind, who doesn't actually whisper to me or care about which direction my feet are going. The leaves don't exist so that I can say, this leaf is pointing to that ice cream truck, which means I should get some ice cream. They just lie on the ground, and I interpret them how I want to. I think it's okay to have irrational ways of thinking sometimes. If it doesn't hurt anyone, and it makes you happy to think that a leaf is leading the way to some ice cream, then what's the harm? Side note, is it possible for a shadow being to eat anything? I'm not hungry, exactly, but I said the words ice cream too many times and now I'm craving it. There were five leaves, pointing toward the door of the Gilded Hill Domestic Animal Mortuary and Cemetery grounds. I took that as an exceptionally wonderful sign. I like to think they knew I was going to be looking for them, and they wanted to let me know I was in for something beautiful. I pushed open the door, and the bell tied to the handle did not ring. The bell had no clapper. It did make a small defeated thump against the glass of the door with its smudged brassy frame. I thought it a little odd to have a bell on the door of a pet cemetery prep center. I couldn't decide whether it was weirder to have it silenced but still tied there. I decided it didn't matter. I did appreciate that it had a neat black ribbon tied into a bow around the top of the frame. Very tasteful. You already know all of this, Amy, but I'm not going to skip out on describing the next few parts to you. They're my favorites, and I want you to know my perceptions and experiences of the whole thing. And most importantly, I would never want to deny you the opportunity of listening to my angelic voice. The reception area is small. The whole building is, really, because pet mortuary is not a lucrative business and does not need as much space as a human mortuary does. The reception area is a small part of this small building. It's a delicate balance of warmth and sanitation. It's almost cozy, but not quite. Like the room knows its purpose and doesn't want you to feel like it's trying to persuade you not to mourn there. It feels like a good room to cry in. I remember thinking. But I was not there to cry. Because there was nobody else around but the reupholstered blue chairs, I shuffled around a little and observed things. I observed that someone had cut into one of the chairs, probably holding the knife or cutting instrument right up against their back to do it. I observed that there was nothing inside the tear they had made. I observed that there were no magazines on the tables or chairs, or in the racks bolted to the walls. Instead, there were different copies and editions of the same novel, Prairie Owl Night. Some of the covers made it seem like the titular owl was the main character. Some made it seem like a distant motif readers may choose to identify or ignore. Some didn't have covers at all. "That's not even my favorite book," came a voice behind the counter. A very pleasant voice. Confident in its own sound and ready to bounce on the wind until it reaches something to get absorbed by. "Everyone thinks it is because I have so many copies of it, but really I only kind of like it." I looked away from the table I had been comparing covers on and toward the voice. It belonged to a lady about my own age. She had hair that rippled down like a rock climber from her head in loose but bouncy waves. It was brown, but it wanted to be blonder than it was. Her nose was a good one that had freckles running along its bridge. Her eyes were brown, darker than her hair, and almost black. I wondered if they were always like that, or if they would change in the light. She didn't smile yet, so I couldn't see her teeth, but she had a lip ring on the left side of her bottom lip that looked like it had been punctured there in an attempt to look older. She had grown into it, I thought. "She's you, of course. I'm talking about you, Amy, just in case that wasn't clear." I've never heard of it," I said, talking about Prairie Owl Night, trying to seem casual. You know, like I wasn't searching for a dead body and a newly discovered relative, and like I hadn't just met the most breathtaking person I'd ever seen. Cool and casual, my two middle names. "Eh, don't bother," he said, smiling, closed-mouthed but not unfriendly. "It's really not that great." I took your word for it. I walked over to the counter you stood behind. You didn't ask why I was there or whether you could help me with anything. I think you figured I'd have to tell you eventually or else I'd just leave, so you didn't need to bother. You were right, of course. "I'm trying to find someone," I started. "Someone who's dead or dying or whatever, and I tried the hospital and the morgue there and the police station wouldn't let me look around there, and then I saw a cute dog and I thought maybe I'd try this place." A waltz of annoyed and amused danced across your face. All you said for a little while was, Then you came closer, up to where there was a computer resting on the counter. You clicked some things and typed some things. "This is a pet cemetery," you said, eventually. I nodded. "I mean, people come here to bury their pets and stuff. The people who want something nicer than their backyard, even when it's all the same dirt, really. It's a pet cemetery." I nodded again, hoping my face was only a fraction of how pink it felt. "Yeah, no, I know. I can't think of anything else to try, and I really need to find him, and holy crap, what is that?" While I had been talking, something that seemed like a tiny ball of outer space had come careening out of the back room, tumbling over everything in its path and crashing at your feet. "Puddles," you said. "What is that?" I asked again. You smiled down at the thing by your feet and then smiled back at me. A full and toothy smile this time, so that your canines caught the fluorescent lighting. "Puddles," you said again. I wasn't sure what you meant. I'm not sure what you mean, I said. You scooped up the ball of space that had knocked into your foot and you quickly walked it back behind the door, telling it to sit. When you came back, you said, Puddles is my dog. That didn't look like a dog, I said. I mean, it looked like a dog-like thing, but not really a dog. You laughed a little bit. He was a black lab, you said. Like, that explained everything away. I wanted to ask about the way you said that. What did you mean by, was a black lab? But you were already looking back at the computer. After one glance to make sure Puddles was staying put, you asked, so what's the name? It's Nolan, I said. Nolan Packett. You seemed ready to tell me that didn't sound like the name of a pet, but you didn't get to. Life has a funny way of shoving things into our faces, doesn't it? A man walked into the Gilded Hill Domestic Animal Mortuary and Cemetery grounds. I heard the bell thump against the door behind him, and I turned. He had a funny way of walking, like he'd gotten used to floating after years of practice with it, but was trying to walk instead for the sake of those around him. His clothes seemed odd too, like they weren't separated from his body. The lines and seams were all there, but I had the feeling that if you pulled on them, they wouldn't flow or rip away like clothes should. His face seemed right, but that seemed wrong when paired with everything else. He walked up to us at the counter, sliding his hand against the wall as he went. It didn't make a sound. He stopped right next to me. He smiled at me. Hello, he said, in a voice that felt like something more than sounded like something. What kind of something, I couldn't be sure. Hello, he said. You're looking for me, I think. He stopped there and smiled again. I'm Nolan Packett.